Welcome to Every Generation, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossfields, located in Jamesburg, New Jersey, where we teach through the entire Bible, verse by verse, and make application to every generation, so we can grow in our relationship with God.
Okay, Imago Dei, the image of God. The image of God is being marred and has been marred throughout history. I don't think ever more so than today, maybe even the last few years. When you think of the image of God, you might think, well, does God look like me? Or like, you know, like what? How does that work? So it's more in the sense of morals and the spiritual essence and intellectual. That unlike the animals, we have a connection with God that those animals don't have. You and I have been given unique characteristics. We can rule over creation. We have authority over creation. We can have a relationship with each other and other people. We have an intelligence. We have speech. We have a moral consciousness. Some people. Not everybody. We have an ability to reason. Some people. Not everybody. We have creative liberty. We have choice. We have free choice. We can reflect God's divine nature. God's plan and purpose, He has a plan and purpose for each of us, but especially for us as humans. We can represent God on earth for the time that we're here. We can love God and others. We can listen and obey His word. My prayer right now is that we have ears to hear what God is saying to us through His word. Because it's unlike anyone else speaking to us, isn't it? It's unlike anyone else. It's His supernatural word. Now, the first couple slides, that was our choice. We can choose to follow God and reflect His image. But because of that choice, we can also decide, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. This is so crucial. When you do your own thing, when I do my own thing, I am in rebellion against God. I am in rebellion against the Creator of this universe. I am in rebellion against the very one who created me. And from experience, I can tell you I was a rebellion person. And I think you can too, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. So a person in rebellion doesn't really have a self-consciousness. Matter of fact, the Bible says you can have a seared. Your conscience can be seared. Doesn't feel anything. It's compromised so much that you don't even know the distinction between right and wrong, good and evil. And my goodness, everyone, right? Isn't that our world? Not just the United States. Not just your town. We're talking about the whole world. No spiritual growth for people in rebellion. Matter of fact, what is it? It's a downward spiral. No moral reflection. You do something that's wrong, you don't even think about it. You just walk away. It's who I am. Too bad for that person I just hurt. A rebellious person denies their moral and spiritual likeness to God. They don't even want to hear about God, yet alone if you say the word Jesus. Oh my goodness, ballistic, right? You can talk in general about God, but boy, you name the name of Jesus, and the whole earth spiritually just shakes. We love others more than God. I think Adam showed us that right at the beginning. He sided with Eve, right? Taking a bite of that fruit and set a stand on the word of God. God said, eat everything except from that, the fruit of that one tree. Rebellion also comes out when we neglect or turn our back on God. The Bible says that the road to hell is wide and many are on it, and the road to heaven is narrow and few find it. I am looking at privileged people right now. You're looking at a privileged person. Because we know and have access to the Word of God. How many of you in here are bad at memorization? Anyone? Be honest. Okay. Join in if you know this. Okay? It's from the Bible. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You lied to me. You haven't memorized? But why do you know that? You've heard it over and over and over and over again throughout your lifetime. Jesus said, God spoke. He spoke. And there's times that we might be in a situation that God, because of what we read or said or talked about, doesn't God bring it back to your memory when you weren't even thinking about it and you say something to someone and you might be thinking, where did that come from? Well, that was God. That's a God thing through His Holy Spirit going into your treasure vault of what you have stored in your heart to be able to shed light and love and counsel and understanding and encouragement to another person who was created in the image of God. In Luke 6:46, it says, and why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? We've heard that, right? We've heard it. Have we really thought about it, though? When you call Him Lord, what does that mean to you and to me? You see, it's a privilege to be able to call Jesus Lord. It's supernatural. But I think, like me, you have certain areas in your life, in your mind, in your heart, that you haven't given to Him yet. He's not Lord over everything. He's only Lord over certain things. In Jeremiah 18:4, which if you opened up your scripture in Jeremiah 18, verse 4, I'm reading right now from the New American Standard. I know most of you have the New King James Standard. We're going to get to that in a second. It says here, but the vessel that He was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So He remade it into another vessel and it pleased the potter to make. I want to look at that word spoiled, and if you go into your New King James, verse 4, it says marred. The word is marred, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. I want to look at that word marred for a minute as we get into God's word. So let me read the first four verses right now. Jeremiah 18, that's our main text for today. The word which came to Calvary Chapel, Crossfields. April 28th, 2024. Oh, you're kidding, Pastor Vinny. No. The word which came to Jeremiah comes to you, comes to me as often as we allow it to. We choose to hear and read and digest God's word. Verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. You know, since COVID a few years ago, a lot of churches closed down. A lot of people haven't returned to church yet. Who's Lord? Notice in verse 2, God told Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah had to physically move. He could have said, okay, Lord, and never went. But he went. And because he went, he heard God's words. You see, you and I, when we open up God's word and say, Lord, I just want to hear your voice today as you speak to me, he will speak to you. He will speak to you. But you have to have a desire. You can have a reading plan, but the reading plan can be a routine, can't it? Versus, and Pastor Joe has said it a few times, don't worry about that reading plan. Read the Bible, but read a verse. Read a paragraph. Read a chapter. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart, but digest what you're reading. Don't just read it for the sake of reading. Say, Lord, I want to hear from you today as I spend time with you, Jesus, my Lord. And you might be on a verse, Jesus cried. That could be a sermon for a month. Seriously. Cut that in half. Jesus. That can be a sermon for a lifetime. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter. Now we could have a cartoon and the clay could say, what are you doing? Don't do that. But no, the clay, that lump of clay, by the way that you and I are made of, when you take clay, all the ingredients in that clay are in you and me. No offense. But it was marred. And what does that word marred mean? There was impurities in it. It wasn't smooth. He was working on it, and he felt a lump of clay, a hard piece. So he had to really dig into it and break it up more and get more water on it and really work at it. You ever watched a potter? He's a mess when it's over with. Because he's into it. He's invested in it. Jesus is invested in you. Proof? Go back 2,000 years to a place called Calvary. He's invested. And he's the author and perfecter of your faith. And he never stops investing in you. Isn't that awesome? I wish that was my image with others. That I was totally invested in another person or anybody that I met. Like 100% invested. That word marred means destroyed, spoiled, corrupted, decayed, ruined, injured, rotted, perverted, wasted. That's what that word marred means. As you know, we're in the last, is it the last day of Passover? Maybe it ends tomorrow, right? Is it tomorrow? Tonight? Tonight's the last day. Okay, so it's been a week. And if you were here for the Passover Seder a week or two ago, it was awesome. If you haven't seen it, check it out maybe before Passover ends. It's excellent. It's on a Wednesday night. So the agony of the cup. Jesus drank four cups. One of the cups was a cup of suffering. And that cup was a cup he took so you and I didn't have to drink from it. And in Isaiah 52:14 it says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Jesus was marred for you and for me. In Isaiah 29:16, it says, you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Basically, Lord, I know what to do. I don't need your help. I can save myself. I don't need your help. Rebellion. Not listening to God who loves you and given his word for you to listen to, obey, and put into play. In Jeremiah, going back to your scripture, Jeremiah 18, verses 5 and 6, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now you're saying, okay, Pastor Vinny, Jeremiah is talking to Israel in the Old Testament. Right on, correct. But the word Israel means governed by God. If Jesus is your Lord and my Lord, we are governed by Him. He's our Lord. So there are truths throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, that apply to everyone, whether it's a nation or individuals. And the Word of God says, well, I created you. I can do whatever I need to do because I understand the finished product. You don't. I don't. But God, the potter, you being the clay, knows how he wants to form and shape you. And when he's working on you throughout your lifetime, he sees a little impurity. Something's marred. He's got to break it down. And sometimes the breakdown hurts. I think we can all do this, right? Sometimes it hurts. But, and I don't know a lot about pottery. A lot of people think I'm a crackpot sometimes. But I don't know a lot about pottery. But I understand from just reading that when there is a, let's say it's a vase that they're making, that then when they put it into the kiln, I guess, it's inside something else. It's not taking the fire right on the vase. The vase is in a protection. Jesus is your protection. He's my protection. We're in Christ. We might feel the heat, but He takes the flame. That's so important. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Three guys were thrown into that fiery furnace. It even killed the guards that threw them in. But there was a fourth man. Jesus is always with you in whatever circumstances you're going through. In Job chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. An intricate unity. Yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay. And will you turn me into dust again?" And this was part of Job's conversation with the Lord. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. Before you were born, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." Now, this was speaking about Jeremiah again. But God has chosen you. He has chosen me. He has formed us. He knew us before we were in our mom's womb. And before we were born, He set us apart. He knew the exact day that you were going to receive Him as Lord and Savior. He knew the exact day you were going to be baptized in His name on a free choice. He knew the exact day you would speak to somebody and have a conversation or go to a Bible study or speak about Him and learn more about Him. He knows everything about us. Psalm 139:14. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Anybody ever been sick? Anybody ever been in the hospital for a day or more? How intricate and how marvelous are the ways that God has made you and me. How everything works. Right now, your heart's beating. Your lungs are taking in air and expelling it. You're thinking. You're trying to take in what God is saying to you. These are the very things that reflect God's image. These are the very things that we are, that we can consciously be aware of those things and praise Him for it. Back to the main text, Jeremiah 18, looking at verses 7 through 10. "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." I believe that we're seeing in the United States a nation of people who have turned their back on Jesus Christ. Not on God, on Jesus Christ. And I believe we're seeing things throughout our states that are a result of us not honoring our God. And unless we repent as a nation, things are going to continue to get worse and worse. Because God is trying to get everybody's attention, because He doesn't want anybody to perish, but to come to the saving knowledge of Him. Verse 11. "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. This is called repentance. One of the main things of the gospel is to turn from the way you were heading, away from God, turning my back on God, and to turn and follow Him. Now, the only way you can follow God is to know God and know His Word. A disturbing number of 25 million people that call themselves born-again Christians don't read their Bible. So how do they understand the person of God? How do they understand what He says about every issue? Every issue, every situation, life and death. There are laws that have been passed that are in direct opposition to Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yet there are preachers who say we don't need the Old anymore. How many verses have I gone to today that's in the Old? We're in the Old with Jeremiah. How important is the Old Testament? How is that reflected in the New to help you understand it more? I would only be half of a pastor if I only knew the New Testament, or vice versa. I need the whole counsel of God. I want to know everything about Him, not just bits and pieces, right? We want to know the person. We want to know our God. I want to seek Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. In verse 12 of our text, and they said, that is hopeless. So God is telling, Jeremiah is telling the people what God is telling them. They're in rebellion. God's saying, you turn back to me, everything will be cool. You don't turn back to me, toast. In verse 12, and they said, the people said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans. And we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his evil heart. That's amazing. That helped me wake up a little bit. Just got everything going. Is that something that they're saying, no thanks, God. We're going to do our own way. We're good. Noah's Ark. Those millions, possibly billions of people thought everything was okay. It was only 8 people who were working on the boat and got in it. And then disaster struck. God warns us in the Old and the New Testament that judgment is coming for those who are outside of Christ. How important is to be in Christ? To have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How important is that? It's getting worse, everybody, right? It's getting crazier. Jeremiah, we're going to skip a few verses, go to Jeremiah verse 15, still in chapter 18. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols. And they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways. From the ancient past, to walk in pathways and not on a highway. You've got to understand that these pathways had robbers, thieves, had animals. It wasn't the normal pathway to take. And notice, the people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to worthless idols. All of us have a God vacuum that can only be filled by Jesus. No other God, nothing else, can fill that void. Some of us might have searched for 40 or more years before we finally got it, before our eyes were opened. There are young people in schools who get it. And they have a Bible club. Some of your kids, some of your grandkids are downstairs learning the Scriptures. Because they're not learning the Scriptures in the schools today. Remember, they took it back out, right? Prayer, Bible reading, back in the 60s. How has that fared for our nation? Did that work? I don't think so. It's back in 2015. They had this image on the Statue of Liberty in New York City. And New York City is such a gateway for filth. It's such a gateway for everything. From drugs, abortion, whatever it is. Boy, New York opens up their doors. Well, in 2015, they had this Hindu god called Kali, K-A-L-I, projected at night on the Empire State Building. Here's a couple other pictures of it. She's the goddess of death, disaster, and destruction. Well, we are now 9 years down the road. How are things going in New York since this? The God you serve will show himself and reflect himself in your life, in your town, in your city, in your country, and in your world. Who would serve a God of death, disaster, and destruction? Doesn't make sense. But their minds are seared. They're spiritually blind. So that was about 9 years ago. Then in 2016, a replica of a Syrian arch destroyed by ISIS was unveiled in New York City. This is the archway, a replica of the archway, that led into the Temple of Baal, where they did children's sacrifice. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever heard of portals. Ouija board is a portal. Tarot cards is a portal. It's a portal into the supernatural where you're inviting demonic presence into your life or into your home or into your town. These were things done right here in New York City. You and I just have to look to see what is going on just in New York City. I mean, it's happened throughout our country. This next one, same arch, traveled the country, was on a tour. It went to Washington, D.C. What are things that are happening coming out of Washington, regardless of who's in there, that is anti-Jesus, anti-Bible? Going back to your text, Jeremiah 18, 16 and 17. To make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. A hissing was like this. They would say, let's say I haven't been to Disneyland in 20 years. And I remember how it was, and I go in there, and it's totally destroyed. I'm like this. Man, look at this. It's just like a constant hissing. I'm just amazed. I'm shocked at what's going on. I think we can do this, can't we, with our country? Where has it gone from what we knew as little kids? And for young people who can't reflect back to those days because you weren't around yet, how much more important is for you to hear the Word of God and obey it? It is crucial for you because you are targeted more than anyone. Young people all the way down to the kids in the nursery and the 2 and 3 year old room. Satan wants them. He's on a crusade to get them. It's obvious now in our schools. It's obvious. They're after our kids. Pray to knock down spiritual strongholds. Pray. Seriously, pray. It says in verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind. An east wind that came off the desert was dry and humid and devastating. There was no life in it. There's no life. There's no life without Jesus in your heart and in the heart of the people in the world. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. No religion has a God who put on human flesh, left his throne room, came down to this planet as a little baby and grew into a young man, who taught us, performed miracles to get our attention, went to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and mine, was buried 3 days later, he rose from the dead, seen by over 500 people during the next 40 days, ascended into heaven and told his followers, wait for me, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit to live within your hearts so that you can continue on your journey until you and I meet face to face again. That message is good news. That message is for you and for me, not only to the people that hung with Jesus while he was walking on this earth. Jeremiah 19, verses 10 and 11 says, then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. Tophet was a graveyard. But I have great news. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, just like you and me, made in the image of God. But Adam sinned. He went against God's law, went against God's word, and he fell. So the whole human race inherited that sin nature. But God sent his Son. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So Jesus takes your place and my place. What Adam did and blew it for the human race, Jesus restored, so that now we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're in Christ. We are no longer lost. We are no longer marred. We are now in the image of God to reflect His glory to one another and to people that come in our path throughout the world. What a plan. What a purpose that our God has. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I think Jesus is sitting up on the throne room next to the Father, and He's like this. Now, Dad, can I get my people now? Can I get my child right now? And the Father says, be patient, son. There's some more coming into the kingdom today. There's still souls that are my sons and my daughters. Oh, His timing is perfect. Who are we to tell God, now, God, take me now. Get us all out of here right now. No, Lord, I just want to be submissive. I'm just that clay. Mold me and make me, shape me today. Make me the person you want me to be so I can touch another life for you. And in your time, I know you'll take me home. But not yet. Not today. Not this moment. I still can reflect your image to the people in front of me, behind me, next to me. In Matthew 21:44, it says, and whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And this was being talked about Jesus as the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. The guys who thought they knew what they were doing rejected the chief cornerstone. If you don't have a chief cornerstone, your building's in trouble. It's not stable. And there's a lot of unstable people today because they don't have Jesus as their chief cornerstone. You and I, if you're a born-again believer, you've fallen on the stone. You've fallen. You're humble. You've been broken. And maybe you're still going through that process of breaking, but you're surrendering to God. But on whoever that stone falls, that's judgment. They'll be broken in judgment. It will grind them to powder. If you're a born-again believer, you won't be ground to powder. You'll be elevated. You'll be taken up into heaven with Jesus because you're his bride. He's shaping you, molding you into the person he wants you to be. We doing okay? Everybody good? In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Male and female. He created them." Matthew 19:46. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" Our world is trying to separate that. Our governments are trying to separate that. They're trying to say that anything that you set up with a man, whether it's a man and a man, a woman, a man and a horse, they'll be one. No, that's not what God says. He says, he took, in Genesis, he talked about putting man to sleep, taking a rib, forming a woman. When Adam woke up, he probably said, "Man, I feel different. I don't feel like I did before I slept. What happened to me? What took place in that time that I fell asleep? Whoa! Whoa, man! Oh, woman! Whoa, man!" He took a rib and formed another person. It's a prime rib. It's a prime rib. And the two, now equal, but Adam knew something was missing. "I don't feel as sensitive as I used to." Maybe he said that. "Because I know the beauty of a woman and how important her emotional part is in to balance me, to balance me out." And the two became one, the way God designed it to be. And you can't fill that God void or God's plan with anything else. There'll always be something not right. There'll always be something missing. Max Lucado said, "God created marriage. No government subcommittee envisioned it. No social organization developed it. Marriage was conceived and born in the mind of God." Then, of course, we have this. We just saw there was only two. How do you get 72? 72 of anything, to me, is like crazy. It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. There is an attack on our image. There's an attack on who you are in Christ. Look at the picture closely. Everything looks okay until you look at it and examine it. You've got to check it out. You've got to examine God's word to see if what is being said by the government, by people, by pastors is true. Is it true? Be a Berean, right? Know God's word to know the real from the counterfeit. Paul in Corinthians went to Corinth. Corinth was very similar to our world today with all the stuff that's going on. And Paul writes in Corinthians, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, nor covetous, drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Notice it's not, remember, there's any sin, anything against God's word is sin. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. But God loved us so much that he sent his son, that if we believe in him, we won't perish and be under the penalty of our sins. And he will change us from the inside out. He'll clean us up. And the great thing in that same passage, the next verse is, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were set apart. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Notice Paul was saying to the Corinthians, hey, you've come to Christ. You know how you used to be. Look at how you are now. God rescued you from a road you were going on. So you're going on your own road. You're going on your own road. Oh, I almost went off the cliff. I almost went off the cliff and he saved me. I think as we grow, right, as believers, we realize how close we were to that cliff. Okay, in closing, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. You have taken off your old self with its practices. If you're born again, you've taken off your old self and have put on the new self. You're a new creature in Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. God is the author and perfecter of your faith. He's conforming you into that image. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Isaiah 64:8. Can we say that? Can we believe that in our heart? Lord, you're the potter on the clay. Whatever you want to mold me and shape me the way you want it to be. It's being surrendered to the hand of the living God. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I think that's one of the most devastating verses in all of Scripture. That some people one day will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say to them, I don't know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. And Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say, as we saw at the beginning? Do you really want him to be your Lord? Or are you just playing religious games? Are you just faking yourself out? Are you just being deceived? I never knew you. Depart from me. If you don't make a decision for Christ, is this the last chance you have? I know Pastor Joe, Pastor Paul and I, when we come up here, we're surprised that we're still here. Because things are getting so bad out there, it seems like we're getting closer and closer where Jesus is going to do something to fulfill his word. None of us want anyone to ever have this said to them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Look, that was you. That was me. God had a plan. He had a purpose allowing you to come into this world. Have you received them? If you have received them, do you love them? Do you want to know more of his word? Do you really care who he is and what he wants to do in your life? Remember, Jesus was given a coin with Caesar's image on it. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God's. What image are you created in? Whose image? What image do you reflect? Jesus is his Lord. Caesar's not. The government's not. That's all passing away. Jesus is Lord yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't know him, make a decision today to receive him into your heart. Revelation 13. Two more verses here. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that that image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Notice what happens to the image of the beast. Speaking about that global leader, that Antichrist, who one day will have an image made of him that speaks, and he'll want people to bow down and worship it. Just like Nebuchadnezzar did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're in Christ, you won't bow down. I don't think we'll be here for that, but you won't bow down because you're not bowing down now, because Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. But what's happening is the world is being conformed to the image of the Antichrist, so everybody just moves right in. They just naturally just move in. It's not going to be a shock to them. And we see what's happening with our with God's apple of their eye, Israel, and the chosen people, how they're being attacked throughout the world. They're not isolated. This is worse than Nazi Germany. Why? Because that was in a certain section. This is global. These demonstrations are global. And I don't know if you saw the one fellow. He reminded me of King David as a teenager. He's out at UCLA. They're interviewing him as he's going and speaking to professors and to kids who won't let him into their dorm even though he's paying tuition. And he's keeping calm, cool, and collected. And they're freaking out. They can't handle this kid. And he's only probably 20. But he's just speaking the truth. And he's not freaking out. And he's being filmed. He goes, we're going to show everybody this, how you're treating us. So pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we'll close on this verse. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Their innocence, their joy, their anticipation, their excitement. That's what God wants you and I to be like, because that's his image. That's what he calls us to be. That's what he makes us to be through the power of his Holy Spirit. And there's an attack on our little ones. And God is not letting that go unnoticed. I believe we'll see young people rise up. I believe we've seen it. We don't hear about it on campuses, but I bet wherever there's the demonstrations, there's also a group of guys and girls, teens and early 20s that are loving the Lord. People are coming to the Lord. They're speaking about the Lord to people. Pray for our college campuses. Pray for our high schools. Pray for our grammar schools and kindergarten.
You've been listening to Every Generation from Calvary Chapel Crossfields. We meet for Bible study Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sunday service begins at 10:30 a.m. On Sundays, we have children's church for all ages, in addition to infant and nursery care. You can find out more about the ministry here at Calvary Chapel Crossfields by going to www.cccrossfields.org, where you can also watch or listen to previous messages. If you have any questions or have a prayer request, please email us at contact@cccrossfields.org. Thanks for listening, and may God bless.